The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yeah, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are here live after episode number 4, Survivor Winners at War. Stephen Fishback, you want to talk some Australian Survivor?
Guy, I hear that's miserable too, from what I hear. It's not a great week for.
This is a tough one here tonight, and I'm hoping that you can help me get through this because a very good friend of mine got voted off the episode tonight.
Well, to quote Sandy Bergen, I'm pissed.
Oh my god.
It's what a tragedy. And also, like, you know, Tyson was by far, I think, the best character of the season so far. And other people may disagree, but they're wrong. Objectively speaking, with no bias or opinion, Tyson was the best character of the season so far. He's had such a fun game so far. You know, he was emotional, he was funny, he was, you know, strategic. And to see his torch smuffed so soon is very upsetting.
Okay, well, we have a lot to talk through here tonight, and I really got faked out. I went from, oh man, I'm really, or it's definitely Tyson. Then I thought, oh, is it Nick? And then I thought that Nick had a bad tribal council, and I thought it was turning. And then they don't show us the votes anymore. So at this hour. Well, I guess with that, we should just presume it was a unanimous vote with the one rogue vote for Kim. But it really looked like it was coming together. It was really, and as we'll talk through what they were thinking and, you know, what was the smoke screen and try to make sense of this on a difficult night, Stephen.
Oh, it's terrible. And are we just going to jump in or no? No,
we're going to, you know, just trying to set, things. I'm trying to set the stage. Yeah, but I like to give you
a very sad stage that you're setting. No, it's like, a sad scene in a thing that happens on stage. Sad scene in a play, like a tragedy. You know, tragedy. That's
tragedy.
What this is.
Yes, yeah. It won't be a sad scene. I mean, we hope on the stage next Wednesday night when you and I are back live together in North Hollywood at Portal Theater.
Oh my god!
Next Wednesday night live. That's going to be on West Coast time. We've got a special treat for you coming up on East Coast time next week. But more on that. More on that.
Oh, what?
Yeah, we've got T-Bird Cooper on the podcast on Thursday. We've got Jason Linden, J-Sob, Linder Nino, some say, that he's going to be on the Feedback Show this weekend. And then the great Shuby from The Circle is going to be our guest.
I met Shuby.
Yeah. Yeah, he was at our 10-year party.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. All right. Stephen, I guess let's talk about this. All right. So Tyson was in this really bad spot on the Dakal tribe that basically from the jump that he was connected with Kim and with Amber. And it just seemed like that the tide turned against them. And then he basically had about a week or so to try to get something going. We saw the first approach seemed like, okay, let's see if we can get the target on Sandra. It seemed like that then there was a shift to ultimately getting the target onto Nick tonight. He seemed like he was getting closer with getting the target onto Nick. Was he doomed by the first thing where he threw out the name Sandra?
Well, I think you've got to give credit to Yule for that, right? Because Yule is really the one who stoked those tensions, and he kind of had the thought, hey, apparently because she's a great Fisher person, like there had to be more to it than that. But Yule was really the one who went back to Sandra and said, Tyson's trying to get you out in order to put the target on Tyson. So I do think some credit goes to Yule for that. I thought what Tyson was saying made a tremendous amount of sense, right? Like, in fact, he correctly diagnosed what was happening on the tribe, which was like those four guys, nobody is going for them. No one cares about them. They're going to stick together and pick us all off. Well, that's precisely what those guys want to do.
Yeah. It seemed like that he was really close tonight to being able to, you know, the conversation that he had with Tony, where he said, hey, Tony, don't forget, if they go after me, they come for you. It seemed like something really clicked with Tony. The Tyson and Sarah relationship was so interesting. I feel like that was a side of Sarah that we've never really seen Sarah be silly. And we've heard about this. You know, I've interviewed Andrea and she talked about, oh, Sarah was my best friend when I was out there. We've never seen that side of Sarah on the show. She says she's having a great time. Tyson is so much fun to be around. So it looked like that was all coming together. But basically, from what we were shown on the episode, it was just Sandra didn't want to turn her key on this.
Yeah. And it was, I agree, it was such a great scene for Sarah. You know, like you're saying, it's one of these things where like every person in Game Changers felt that they were super close to Sarah. We've heard again and again how charming she is. It's never been something that really translates in her confessionals. So to see her having fun on the island and goofing around and being irreverent and kind of like, you know, matching Tyson, who's one of, you know, Survivor's great jokesters, joke for joke. I mean, the thing where she was like begging him to like breathe his old clam breath. P.S. If you ever see me, I do not want you to breathe your old clam breath. No clam breath on me. Not in this environment. But it was I mean, such a fun scene for her, and they seem to be getting along really well. I mean, what do you think of this from Sandra's perspective, Rob? Is she right? Because, you know, Tyson is coming for her, and if someone's coming for you, you want them to get rid of them. Or is she being short-sighted because she, you know, because there is some validity to what Tyson is saying about these four guys going for the big threats?
It's hard to say because it's really hard for me to separate that. I want Tyson to stay in the game so badly. So, of course, I want Sandra to vote with that group. And I've always advocated that the threats need to stay with the threats. But for Sandra to be a part of a, you know, what would have been a, you know, 8-1 vote turns into a 7-1 vote. And stay part of this, you know, quote unquote, like united front going into a swap. Is that the better place for her to be rather than completely, you know, blindsiding four people in the tribe to knock out Nick out of the game and now potentially making enemies out of Yule, Sophie, and Wendell?
Well, and especially with the swap coming, I mean, we now know the swap is coming, but I'm sure that every one of them has been speculating for quite some time, you know, when is the swap coming? It should have been now. And I'm sure now that it's as late as it's been, right, in many, many seasons, that they are all...
Not necessarily by date.
I see. Okay, well, still, they must all be like, you know, eagerly, they must all be anticipating the swap right now and have every, you know, and I'm sure this decision was to make a consensus decision that the tribe could get behind. It's basically what Yule said, right? There are divisions within this tribe, but we don't want to expose those divisions. We don't want people to harden into alliances. I thought that was a really interesting, insightful point that I've never heard anyone say before. Like, as long as we can avoid actually putting these divisions into stone with a vote, we can maintain the illusion, and we need that illusion. It's a really useful illusion for us right now.
So I feel like that Tyson did a really good job of, you know, leaning on the social game and sort of like ingratiating himself, try to build himself back up from the position that he was at the bottom. After the challenge, though, that to throw out Nick's name, would you think was Nick talked about, or do you think that Nick's name came up out of losing the challenge and then not putting the puzzle together?
Well, I mean, it seemed like he might be a consensus vote from Tyson's perspective, right? It seemed everyone was agreeing that he really didn't do anything around camp. He obviously had completely bombed the challenge, a challenge that, as Jeff repeatedly mentioned, he had won.
Was that a throw, Steven?
No,
did they throw?
No.
You don't think they threw the challenge?
Why on earth would they throw the challenge? Why would Nick throw the challenge when he was then one of the targets?
Well, he didn't know that he was going to be the presumptive target.
Are you screwing with me? There's no way they threw the challenge.
Not. I'm sorry. It was such.
This is not a sincere question,
Stephen. Why? I don't know why you're being like this.
Are you being serious? Now I can't tell you.
Completely serious. Nick wasn't on the chopping block and then in the position. This wasn't like Adam to say. I'm not asking you like, oh, do you think that Adam was throwing the challenge of trying to not get the key? because he wanted to go to tribal council when he was clearly on the bottom, that Nick, it did not seem to have any indication that he was going to be the potential target. I was just wondering that if the tribe wanted to get rid of Tyson, if they seemed concerned that Tyson was going to reconnect with Rob and with Parvati, if they got to a swap, it would not be the craziest idea for that tribe to try to throw a challenge and get rid of Tyson before they got to a swap. We've seen Tony and Sarah try to execute this same exact plan in Survivor Cagayan to get out Cliff Robinson. Sarah's there on the part of the puzzle making. I mean, nope, people did not seem that pissed with Nick.
They seem pretty pissed with him. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think
Tyson,
if it's a throw for almost always, and this is not always the case, sometimes there are throws that we don't see a confessional for. It's almost always the case that someone will give you a confessional that it's going to be a throw. And I mean,
what about when you guys have talked about in Survivor Second Chance on the Monica vote that you said, like, well,
that wasn't a throw per se. It was
one. So, yeah, yeah. I mean, could it be one?
No. And I've heard there are other things. There are other examples where, but like that was, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it was such an epic screw up, and it just looked like I've never, if that's how they threw it, by like assembling and then completely disassembling the puzzle, it would be,
why would they say they didn't have anything wrong? Why did they take the whole thing apart?
And maybe they were missing some piece. It's very strange. You're right that it is incredibly strange, but I do not think it was a throw. I mean, most of the tribe did seem to be, I think that these players are, I mean, especially with a swap coming up, why risk it now? I mean, I hear you about like eliminating Tyson, but who's that invested?
My hill to die on. I'm throwing the,
no, it's interesting. I know it's interesting. I'm thinking through it. I'm taking it seriously. I thought you were screaming with me because, as you know, it always reads as fan fiction to me when every thing that happens that's just a result of incompetence or bad luck or a flub, people assume is, you know, based on a throw or some, like, it's like when Gabby was crying at tribal, people had assumed that she was crying for strategic reasons. Yeah. You know, like that always seems a little bit nonsensical to me, but you know,
this is the craziest thing that they were, it's seemingly, I mean, Jeff was ready to call it the biggest blowout in Survivor history, and then they took the puzzle apart.
Yeah, it was very strange. It was, that's why it was so bad that you almost, like, you could never throw a challenge by performing that badly, you know, like, you know, it was, they had it and then they completely disassembled it. Like, that made no sense. And I think that would be such an obvious thing that someone would have had to comment on it. And you had a lot of people there who liked Tyson, right? Who certainly wouldn't have wanted to participate in the throw. And, you know, Kim obviously tightly allied with Tyson.
Okay, but if Nick and Sarah are potentially,
Sarah's allied with Tyson, you know,
or if Nick is, you know, just on it.
If Nick had decided, like, single-handedly decided to throw, and then himself was almost voted out for it, that would be, you know, that would be a,
What we don't know is how close did that plan come to, you know, coming together. That's ultimately what, you know, that was Tyson's plan. After Trump was like, hey, let me vote out Nick, he blew the puzzle. And then he had that conversation, and maybe, you know, he got Tony and Sarah on board. They went to Sandra, and Sandra was, you know, thought about it. No chance.
That's interesting.
We have to sort of like, we don't have exit interviews. We got to sort of like, you know, throw some theories out there. And then hopefully maybe one day we find out we got it right or wrong. Interestingly, Sarah had a vote steal. Steven, if she felt strongly enough about this, she could have stolen a vote. It's day 11, early to do that. They could have kept Tyson if they wanted to.
Now, if Sarah had done that, stolen the vote, saved Tyson, but then herself was voted out at the next tribal council because she did that, would she have played that correctly or incorrectly? Would that be a correct or an incorrect play of that?
That would be correct. Yeah.
Well, how is that correct? You know, this whole correct incorrect thing is such a stupid way of
conceiving. Is that what happened to you? I don't think that was what happened.
No. But this idea of, like, what is a correct play of this? Like, it's a ridiculous metric. Correct.
If you use it and the person you use it on goes home and you don't, I think that counts. You know.
No, but what if you go home the next week because you used it?
Yeah.
Because of that. That's incorrect. It has to be incorrect.
The only way you can use advantage correctly is if you win the game after you use it. That's the only way that, I mean, that's a very...
So Sarah used it correctly.
Which
Sarah
she
used
did, it correctly. Too. Also, exactly. Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but Stephen, for Tyson, this was just a tough spot for him. He just was on the wrong tribe here with so many people where that it was just such a solid group where there was just just no room to move where that Yule group, the Yule, Sophie, Nick and Wendell, it just seems like that they have had this thing on lockdown of, okay, we're breaking up this group, and you have too many good players there to not take their eye off the prize.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a very funny confessional Tyson had where he couldn't remember Sophie's name.
Yeah. He knows Sophie's name. Steven,
I know, I was very upset, like, no Fishback's Wedding Alliance. You know, I had hopes that we could see Tyson.
She was talking
Sophie.
To Cochran the whole time. She wasn't talking to us.
Yeah.
anyway, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Steven, but that group, that Tikal group, that is a very, very fun tribe. I really enjoyed, I was sweating profusely in the tribal council, but I really enjoyed, watching all of the interactions between them at tribal council and just like their camp life scenes.
I know. I love it. I love it so much. And that's, I mean, we'll talk about the Edge soon, but it is sort of why I've been bummed about the Edge. And as good as the Edge has been and as fun as the Edge has been, it takes away so much from what could be, what I really want to see, which are like these fun camp life scenes of these characters that we've watched for, for decades now. I mean, just seeing Yule play has been so much fun.
Yeah. What in particular has been so, I feel like Yule's been so much fun on social media. What did he do tonight that was so much fun for you?
Well, you don't like the Yule style of playing. You know, it's more like he's very super logical. He's very mathematic in his thinking and the way he talks about things is very, right.
I think Yule's funny on social media. I just don't know what.
No, I'm not saying he's funny. Yeah. I just like love the way he plays. And I love that sort of hyper analytical approach to the game, the way he breaks things down.
He said tribal council, he hasn't been even doing any math lately, Steven.
Well, but he's still obviously analyzing it and like thinking very, strategically about everything. And I've loved his version of social strategy. And I think the way he has executed his strategy has been very effective. I was a huge fan of his, in his first time out, and it's been really fun to see him again. I mean, and he's doing the right thing, right? He's got his four guys together.
Well, he is locked in on Poker Alliance.
Well, and that was a very smart strategic move, right? To like target this nebulous thing and build fear around it as a way of putting a target on some people. He did that again with Sandra and Tyson, putting the target on Tyson. And, he really protected his guy, Nick. And I thought, that scene where Tyson comes to Yule and is like, it's got to be Nick, right? And like Yule completely agrees. Yeah, Nick, he's so lazy. Like, let's get rid of Nick. And then, turns it around and flips it around.
What
I thought
Tyson
it was great.
Let's party.
Let's party, is that what he said?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were so many funny moments from this tribe, especially at the tribal council, where that Nick, for some reason, just like blurts out, hey, just so everybody knows, if we go to a swap, I'm sticking with you guys.
Yeah, and Sophie's like, me too.
Yeah, me too. And like, oh yeah, me too. That was so funny. Even Sarah, when they were talking about like people like going after, I'm starstruck, and then
they're idols. So Kim was talking about
and Sarah's like, oh Kim, come on, you're just that was really really funny. Going back to Tyson, he gets voted out. He bequeaths the fire token to Nick, the
so
biggest
fun.
Stunner.
I love it.
Of the five, he said, here's, what did he say? Here's a fire token
from your idol or from your hero. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Was there was that just Tyson wants to say like, okay, well, Nick was gunning for me that he wanted to go big game hunting like Tyson said at the tribal council? Or was there any strategic benefit to bequeath the fire token to Nick?
No, I don't think that's what I think it was. That it was like Nick was gunning for me, like good for him. There's obviously a little bit of the anarchist in Tyson, so it's more like who wouldn't this be like funny to give it to the guy who I was targeting, who nobody's really threatened by.
And Tyson had such a funny line, which I don't even think was intentionally funny, when he got to the edge of extinction. Is it like, boy, you guys?
Oh, the firewood. Oh, such a great meal. So great. What a great moment.
Yeah. It was a great capper to the episode.
Yeah.
Ethan nearly died bringing all that firewood back to on the edge of extinction. Let's talk a little bit about that, Steven. Probably the longest uninterrupted edge sequence that we've ever had in the history of the show. I think it was probably polarized, where I think a lot of people really loved it. A lot of people might have felt like it went on too long. How'd you feel about the carry 20 logs down from the top of the hill challenge?
So I thought it was a really fun scene on its merits. Like, I really enjoyed watching it. It was moving to see these people, like, really pushing themselves to their extremes. You know, certainly when Ethan broke down but was able to kind of overcome that, and then everyone walked with him for his final journey, I thought that was really powerful. But, big but, I would rather see 10 minutes of Survivor, you know, than that. Like, it was a great... Yeah. Little 10-minute thing of some people I care about doing something really hard. I would love to watch that on YouTube if they sent me the, like, hey, look at this adventure we went on. It was not, I did not feel like it was like what I look for in Survivor, which is like this game of social strategy, which is the politics, which is the alliance, and which is the funny character moments. Like, those few minutes we had with Tikal, I thought were so fun. I wanted to see so much more of that. I want to see all the moving of the different, you know, the pieces, and I want to see like the fun characters that we, you know, that we're invested in. And I loved the, I thought the section was great. It was moving. I would rather not have had it.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I don't want to trivialize it because I feel like that, boy, this is great, but it's just like, it comes at the expense of, there's other things that I want to see. It was a super moving sequence also. So much better than almost anything else that they could show us at the Edge of Extinction, but still it's the Edge of Extinction.
Yeah, that's how I felt. It was, you know, and I am kind of glad that as more people get voted off, I think it will be, you know, something of, right, if any of our favorites get voted off, as they just have, it'll be nice to be able to check in with them week to week, see how they're doing, see, you know, whatever things that they're confronting through the Edge. I think that will be really an enjoyable experience for those of us who are invested in it. Still, you know, it's an all-winter season of Survivor. I want to see some of the strategy. And I've felt like the way the strategy has been represented has been a little bit... almost because of the lack of time, it's been somewhat straightforward, right? Like, these, you know, these four people are saying this. Oh, these six people are saying that. But six beats four. And I'm sure there is much more wheeling and dealing that's going on. And given that these are supposed to be people playing at, like, the highest level of the game, I want to see that.
Yeah. Steven, let's talk a little bit about what was going on at Cele, that we had the great scene to open up the episode where Adam was on the apology tour to try to go back and get in everybody's good graces. How do you think that how Adam handled the whole issue from last week where everybody was upset with Adam?
I thought he did great. He went on his apology tour and then he was like, you know, he really hustled around camp. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to just like really show everyone that you're working super hard and hope that, you know, by making their lives easier, you don't, no one wants to get rid of you. Cause it's like, you know, I have been in that situation. On the other side of that, where when we had our tribe swap and we had people who were scared of getting voted out, they were like doing all of the work around camp so that they, in order to like ingratiate themselves to us, that was Wigglesworth and Spencer. It's great. It's great being, having like someone else doing all the work. So I think that Adam is doing a really smart thing and letting everyone else be a little bit lazy in order to build back his bonds. And then when Parvati and Rob approached him, Adam's like, no, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to go be scheming. I mean, maybe that bit him. I mean, what did you think? Was that the right move for Adam there?
So I feel like if I'm Adam, that the scene right when, you know, Rob and Parvati are sitting by the water and Adam is near them. If I'm Adam, I have a restraining order from Rob and Parvati. I'm not.
Right.
I don't want anybody to ever see me within 100 feet of them. And then I was surprised that Rob even said to Adam, like, hey, you know, I could just say that you said anything to me. Because then that's exactly when what he did go do. And then got Jeremy and Michelle all worked up again. You know, I wouldn't give Adam like, that's what he said he was going to tell you guys. I wouldn't have given him that. But if I'm Adam, I'm nowhere near those guys. I thought that he did a bad job of being even in the vicinity of them where somebody could look over. And Ben says, like, oh, look, there's Adam. I'm talking with Robin Parvati again.
Yeah, I completely agree. I totally agree. It's like you're giving someone a reason. I think if you're Adam, you're like not leaving the shelter. You know, you're just like, I am here. No one sees me scheming. Actually, that's what Wentworth did really well when she was almost voted out. Obviously, you know, she did not leave the shelter. And as a result, no one was worried about Wentworth, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that that was a really smart decision on her behalf.
Yep. But somehow Adam lives to see another day. He ends up making it to the tribe swap. Do you think? I'm so fascinated to see what the tribes are going to be. Steven, do you think we're going to two tribes or going to three tribes?
How many people are left? So they voted out
three tribes of five.
That's fun.
I don't relish the three tribes. I feel like that sometimes this could be a no man's land in a Survivor season where we go down to three tribes of five and the edge of extinction. I feel like it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's hard to track everything that's going on. I agree with you. And especially,
we got basically three tribes. Five people on the edge of extinction.
Yeah, it's four tribes.
Yeah. So crazy. Four tribes is not great. There's a reason why they don't do four tribes. So it's a lot to cover, but then you have the lopsided tribes to potentially do, eight and seven on the two tribes. But I do think that the two tribes ends up leading to better gameplay than, you know, any grouping of like the smaller numbers.
Yeah, I think the three tribes format really reinvigorated the show, right? Because it had become a little bit formulaic in terms of a group of five got together and they voted out the other five, you know, and it became a little bit. Oh my god, sorry about this.
You okay?
My phone alarm is going off. Okay. Wow, I guess it's time to tell jokes. Hey, I think the three tribes is fun, but maybe not at this point in the game, and certainly not with something like Edge. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, we got to see how everything is going to play out. Somehow, Rob and Parvati both survive to the tribe swap. Amazingly.
It's great. I mean, it's a great group going into the swap. I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Steven, anything else jump out at you that you want to touch on before we start to get to some questions from tonight?
Yeah. What a beast Natalie is.
Yeah. Four fire tokens.
And just like unstoppable. Is Tyson going to give her a run for her money at the Edge of Extinction?
Well, I don't think you should sleep on Tyson in terms of being, you know, Tyson is one of the best challenge competitors, that the show has seen. He's got the right build for it of, you know, that he is, can do endurance, that he's, if you take a look, I don't remember which one of the podcasts I was listening to, that his tribes historically have super impressive numbers in terms of like winning percentage in terms of the pre-merge game. So he's somebody I know in your season, the first chance that he didn't win a challenge, that he was somebody that you had to get rid of at that point in time. So he's somebody I think who could do very well in the Edge of Extinction challenges.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's such a great athlete. I think he's, he's definitely got to be a favorite for a lot of those.
So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Yeah. Steven, before we get to taking some questions from you guys, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor. And those are friends. Steven, you'll be excited to hear this over at Honey. Join honey.com/RHAP. Honey is the free online shopping tool that lets customers automatically find the best promo codes and apply them to your cart. And you know how great it feels to save. How does it feel to save with Honey, Steven?
Well, it's like it's like you get the fire token and don't even have to do the 20 flights with the logs.
To you, all your fire
tokens.
You just
immediately, the fire tokens are bequeathed and no journeys up a mountain.
No journeys up a mountain. I hear it's a big hit at your house.
Rob, I told you this the other day, but I came on, I walked into my wife's office and there was some like beautiful spinning thing happening. I was like, what is this? And she's like, oh my God, you don't know about this? This is Honey. And she went in and this, the whole spiel, she gave me all the great talking points about how it's like magic and it finds all the discounts for you. I was like, am I in a Rob Sesternino like commercial plug here? Yeah. Like it was like all of the points.
No longer and I have do to you say, have to schlep up and down the hill to find the right promo codes. They come to you.
And it's very pleasing to look at. I hadn't used it before.
Yeah, and it tries seeing her all do the it. Different combinations and it's like,
but the way it's animated is for the graphics are very, it's very pleasant.
Okay. So go ahead and give it a try. Be like Steven, you could save, just like it's 18 million members over $2 billion in savings, be a billionaire like Natalie. Do you know that Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, including Macy's, Target, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. And they're adding more every day. Users love Honey. That's why it has over 100,000 five-star reviews on the Google Chrome store. Using Honey is going to feel pretty great. Think of it as a little daily victory. Plus, it's free to use and installs in a few seconds. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP. Okay.
It's a pretty like unequivocally great thing. Like there really is no doubt. I mean, it's like you push a button and it finds you like all of the discounts and you know, there's no downside.
Okay. It's pretty good. All right.
I don't get it. How's that possible?
Steven. All right. Let's start with Robbie. If Tyson knew that Yule, Nick, Wendell, and Sophie were seemingly together, why did he go to Yule with the plan to take out Nick? That is a really good question. I don't know if Tyson knew that they were an alliance. I think he said, hey, I'm out here with Tony and Sarah and Kim and Sandra. We've all got big targets on our back because of their connections. Meanwhile, you've got these four people who nobody is worried about because they don't know anybody. Why aren't we going after them? I don't think that he necessarily knew that those four people he was talking about were an alliance.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay.
All right. Jack wants to know, why do you think Sarah didn't use her vote steal in this instance when the foursome of her, Tony, Tyson, and Kim found out they didn't have Sandra's vote? This would have been the perfect opportunity for it. What do you think, Rob? Was this the perfect opportunity?
No, it's not. It's day 11. It's day 11 of a 39-day game. There's the edge of extinction. Two people are coming back, at least. It's too early. Whose vote are you going to steal? Sandra's vote?
Yeah, and you know, Sarah wasn't even that wedded to Tyson until like Tony like talked her into it. She's not going to use her magical advantage, correctly or incorrectly, to save Tyson.
Really hung up on this.
Well, it's just so infuriating. Whenever they show like the whole thing in Game Changers, I'll be the first to use this correctly. No, I used it correctly. I just happened to also get voted out. That doesn't mean I didn't use the advantage correctly.
Okay. All right. Steven, damn it, Reed says, should Nat convince the other exiled pool to pool their credits for food to flush there and then still be up three?
Oh, that's a fun idea. That's an interesting idea. Like pool it just to eliminate everyone else's fire tokens. That would be a very strategic move.
Yeah. Steven, do you feel like that there is a spirit of competition on the edge of extinction? I feel like that at times we've seen a little bit. We've seen it a little bit this season where, you know, Natalie was breaking the shells and certainly with like Reem and, you know, fighting with Chris and Keith back on the edge of extinction in the first time around. But I feel like that for the most part, it seems like a team sport, the edge of extinction.
Well, to be fair, this season we have not seen, for the most part, right, people who are instrumental in getting each other out, right? I mean, I guess, So it hasn't been like with 30 season 30.
Eight.
Sorry, I've blocked it out from my memory. Season 38.
That's the one where, you blocked out?
Well, you know, that's where I started.
Yeah,
and that's. the memory blank continued. You know, it hasn't been like that where like every person who came to the edge had been like directly responsible for betraying the previous people. And you know, it has seemed like some of these competitions, there is room for not necessarily collaboration, but at least, you know, co-enthusiasm where they're all benefiting, right, for having these more tokens. But there certainly was competition when, you know, Natalie was, you know, somewhat duplicitous, right? She smashed the shells so that neither Amber nor Danny could figure out the clue last week. Mm-hmm. So there's that element of it. I mean, you know, it's a game.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Lauren, who says, who has a better chance of winning fire tokens and making it back from the EOE, Natalie or Tyson?
I think right now Natalie has the edge. just simply because of all the time she spent there, she's like got an awareness of what the tricks are, what's been done, what might be done in the future. Tyson's super smart. He's great in challenges. I think Natalie may have a slight edge
she gets what the game is. Yeah,
Tyson, but in terms of the actual challenge, I would honestly still put money on Tyson for it.
Okay. Steven, what does Jane have to say?
All right, Jane wants to know, do you think the whole tribe knew Nick was going to vote for Kim, or did Sophie ask him to do so thinking Kim might protect Tyson with her idol? If she did on her own, do you think there might be blowback? Do you think Sophie outed Kim's idol to her one-timer alliance? What's your take here, Rob?
Okay, that was interesting. I got the impression that Nick was doing something rogue. He yeah. said, I'm doing this because I think that Tyson had not, and I thought for a second, like, whoa, hold the phone here. Are there going to be four votes on Tyson and four votes on Nick and one vote on Kim? And with Nick going to be hoisted by his own petard here tonight? No, that was not the case.
No hoisting, and not a petard. So I do not think that's what happened. I mean, first of all, Sophie has half of that idol, so she
you don't
can't
think
really
that
be
Sophie put this idea out there. You think that Nick was acting rogue?
Yeah, I think Nick was acting rogue, but also Kim could not have just given her idol to Tyson because Sophie has half of it.
Yeah,
as far as we know. Yeah, it's possible that she gave back her half in the way that Adam gave back his half.
We've seen this move before, where that this is what happened, which sent Dr. Mike out of the game in season 35, where then Devin put one vote on Dr. Mike when Ben played his idol, and so it is a self-preservation move of if you think the votes are going to be against you, throwing even just one vote on somebody else, you know, under the right circumstances, can be the difference between staying and going.
Oh, no, it was absolutely the right decision for Nick. I mean, do you think it was bad for Nick? Do you think that there was the right move for Nick?
What was the downside? Is Kim going to go off on him when they get back to camp?
That's 100% the downside, that it creates animosity with Kim.
Yeah. If you're going to have animosity with anybody, I feel like, Kim did have like a pretty wicked machete chop of a coconut.
Oh, yeah. Coconut. Yeah. She really nailed it.
Nailed it. Okay. All right, Steven, let's take a question from Nikki Hickman.
Nikki Hickman is that? Oh, go. What, sorry.
Go
what?
For it.
All right. Was Tyson's fire token bequeath from a sign of respect for Nick or him not thinking about it at all?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't think that he was not thinking about it at all. I feel like that there probably was a reason, but I think it might have just been a reason to say, hey, here's here's a fire token from your hero.
Yeah, that was fun. Just a fun moment. And Tyson's great for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was part of the, I forget in the preseason interviews that there was some talk about, that Tyson had noticed that, if Tyson wore his hat a certain way, Nick would wear his hat a certain way. So I do think that there was some sort of admiration towards Tyson coming into the game, but somewhere along the way that either got twisted where either it was important to Nick to get Tyson out of the game or that really rubbed Tyson the wrong way that Nick was maybe overdoing it.
Yeah, well, or Nick felt hurt that his idol wanted him out, right? Yeah. And I think that's a very understandable feeling, like someone you really idolize is now like going after
his feelings were not reciprocated, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's no more painful, right? Feeling.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's see if we have another question or two tonight. Let's see. Otherwise, Steven, anything else? Actually, hold on. Let's go back to Harper, who has a question. Says, so glad Tyson is gone. They were right. Rob and Tyson could not be in the game together. Smart move. And smart of Nick to put one vote on somebody else in case. All right. Well, it could still be a good move. You don't have to be glad Tyson is gone, Harper Elizabeth. Okay. I don't even know why we're reading that question. Not even a question. What about this one, Steven?
All right. Sky Dether wants to know, I think whatever Yule wants to happen will happen. I just wish I knew what he was thinking. Why no Yule confessionals? We got a Yule confessional, but it was about how well they're surviving together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't get a lot of his strategy, although did we get a strategy confessional from you all about
No, we didn't. I don't know if we did or not, but he did call Tony an a-hole at Tribal Council. I was out of my seat.
I know Tony too.
he's like, I thought coming into this, I thought that Tony was an a-hole. That was wild.
Yeah. Not, it seemed like such a weird, not a great way to build a relationship. You're not as big of an a-hole as I thought you were.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's a compliment.
That was incredible. Wild night. Okay. Mike Edwards says, the biggest thing for me is that on the podcast, Tyson always talked about that if people don't want to talk to you about the plan, then they want you out. On the show, that clearly happened. And it surprises me that he didn't see it. What did he overlook?
Well, I think he was probably scrambling around. I think that's like the difference between like the really best players and the like the slight like the people who won't talk to you about the plan are like not the best players, right? The best players will talk to you about a fake plan. And I think that's what was happening to Tyson, right? Where they were all like agreeing to this plan of Nick. And, you know, but they, maybe agreeing too fast.
Agreeing too fast. Agreeing too fast and not really like pushing back on like, boy, like, you know, when Tyson goes and talks to Yule about like, hey, it should be Nick, you know, and I think that that Tyson smartly knew, okay, well, I don't need to try to convince Yule to get on board. I need to go talk to Tony and make sure that, you know, Tony and Sarah, and as long as I have, you know, Tony and Sarah and Kim and Sandra on board, it doesn't matter if, you know, if Yule and Nick and Wendell and Sophie are trying to snow me, because I've got the numbers. And I thought he went to Tony and sort of like remade that case. Hey, that if they get rid of me, they're going to get rid of you next. And Tony, I thought very smartly, I get it's Tony loves Spy Shacks. He needs shields. He needs to hide.
Yeah. I mean, my attitude was that that was the right decision. Like that Tyson, staying with Tyson was the correct move for Tony and Sarah and Sandra. Like I mean, you know, I'm always afraid of saying anything against Sandra. And I want to say right now that we're not there. There's obviously a ton of stuff that goes on that we do not see.
Sure.
We do not know what was really happening there. But from the way it looked, it did seem like, you know, that Tyson was right about assessing the situation.
Yeah. Look, for Tyson, he was, you know, in a bad spot. I think the only other way that you could sort of look at this was, could he have thrown Kim under the bus potentially? You know, we saw him then earlier in the season with Amber and Kim, and there was some talk about like who should we get rid of. That he said, "Hey, well, whatever you guys want to do, I'm fine with that." It worked once. As we get to day 11 with a swap looming, do you think that it could that have worked again? Could he have said, okay, hey, if you guys want to go after Kim, throw the other person on the bottom overboard?
That's interesting. It really seemed like a lot of this was based on Sandra's antipathy towards him specifically. And I think that, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? Like she knew that he was saying his name, her name. And like, you want to get the people out who are trying to get you out. Well, so that makes a lot of sense.
And I also wonder with Sandra in particular that, you know, she had the blood feud against the Marianos.
Right.
Does she feel like, okay, Tyson's well, Tyson is Mariano adjacent enough that if I knew he wasn't friends with Rob, I would do it. But he already said my name and he's friends with Rob. So he's somebody that I know I have to get rid of, because if the swap comes and he gets on a tribe with Rob, I know that's going to be trouble for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's part of it. But I also just think that, like, you know, as soon as someone starts saying your name, then your name gets put into circulation. Right. Like then like it's usually only a couple of people who are like in circulation. Right. It's like two or three people whose names get brought up. And it's like, well, which of them is it this week? And so as soon as someone adds your name into that roster, you know, you're screwed for the rest of the game. And so I do think it really behooves Sandra or anyone to take out those people who are saying their name.
Steve, do you think that Tyson got screwed by Boston Rob not getting voted out over on Cele?
That's interesting that there would have been more.
Like, had Rob gone out at one of the last two tribal councils, say they voted out Rob instead of Ethan at that last tribal council, do you think that they would have been more open to keeping Tyson in the game?
Well, why was it? I mean, why was it seemed like a lot of why Tyson was because he had said Nick's name. You know, Sandra wanted him out. Mm-hmm. He had said Nick's name. He was part of this poker alliance. Like, it didn't seem like there was a great overwhelming reason why you would eliminate Tyson.
You know, I will think about this sometimes because I was in a situation in Survivor All-Stars where I was there, Steven, and, you know, I was kind of near the bottom of the tribe, and I didn't go around and try to throw out a name. I said, okay, well, if I just sort of like keep my, you know, keep a low profile and keep to myself, then I won't be the person. Tyson at least, you know, went for it and said, okay, I'm not going to just, you know, take this lying down. Let me go ahead and throw a name out there and try to get it on somebody. Nobody's coming to me with a plan. So I'll go ahead. I'll be the person to throw a plan out there. Didn't work. Doesn't mean that not throwing out a name would have worked.
Right. Right. That's exactly
you
right.
Know, he's you know, kind of damned like if he does, damned if he doesn't.
He was sort of the default boot in that situation. Sandra bench. That was funny.
That was fun. That was a lot of great moments have come out of, and Sandra and Tony on the bench was incredible. I mean, that's just that tribe has so many, funny personalities. We've spent so much time with Selle, and and that's been fun too. But, I feel like that this group together, we hardly got to know them.
Yeah, I agree. And it's even last week, the few seconds of Tikal were so much fun. And that was another reason that I was frustrated to have Edge. Was just like, it was such a fun tribe with so many great personalities interacting in really fun mm-hmm. ways. You know, I loved the Yuel Sophie relationship. I loved, just so much, right? The Tony Sarah thing that was happening, which we did see a little bit of, obviously the Yuel breadfruit relationship that's mm-hmm. been a big part of the season. Yeah. There's just so much going on, and it really is a bummer to lose them before we're getting more of them.
There were a ton of great secret scenes last week. Check the CBS website to see if there are any that show up for this episode. Because I think that they cut these episodes long and then they had to get them down to 42 minutes. And I think they have fully formed scenes where for years, like a lot of the secret scene stuff was just a five minute confessional, super boring. But these are like fully formed scenes. That's like another 10 minutes of the episode that you can watch online. All right, let's go to a couple more questions. Question from another Rob, Steven.
All right, Rob wants to know, how did Janice and Sophie Kim know to bring Idol to Tribe Swap? Do they get a heads up to bring with them, or are they SOL if they leave it at camp?
I mean, I have not had an Idol, Steven. I would imagine you go into a challenge, you bring the Idol with you around this time of the game, no?
Yeah. I mean, I'm decently sure in Second Chances that we just brought it all the time. I don't believe production gave anyone a heads up. I guess I didn't have an Idol. I did have an advantage, but that was after the... Mm-hmm.
In the history of the show, in 40 seasons, nobody's ever like, oh man, I got tribe swapped and I didn't bring my Idol. Okay.
I think it's conceivable that they would give you a heads up. I am not positive. I think what you're saying is correct, that you bring your, you bring your stuff. You know, people bring a lot of stuff. Like, you don't really see it. People bring a lot of stuff to challenges in the possibility that it might be a swap. When we thought there was going to be a swap on, I think, the second challenge, or maybe it was the first, we brought all of our stuff. Like, Joe mm-hmm. brought like tons of twine and things, arts and crafts materials that he could, Anyway, you bring your stuff.
Rob now wants to know, do you know why Sandra could sit out in back-to-back competitions? Because it's not in the same episode.
Right. So this was something I saw a lot on Twitter. People were asking, why can Sandra sit out?
Because it's not a reward challenge and an immunity challenge back-to-back.
Right. The rule is that it used to be like officially that you could not sit out in two consecutive challenges, that whether or not that was not actually rigorously applied. I think the rule always was you can't sit out in two challenges in the same episode. I think they made that explicit around Heroes versus Villains mm-hmm. time. For a while it's been an explicit rule that you can't sit out two challenges in the same episode.
Okay. Steven, do you think, is it possible, could they bring somebody back from the Edge the next episode to make it 8-8 instead of 7-8? So it's early.
Oh,
in the game. It's
that would be 11, fun.
And there's five people on the Edge of Extinction. Is it possible somebody could come back from the Edge this early?
I think that's unlikely, but I actually think that would be really fun. Like, I think like to have more, to bring them back here and then one of them merge and then like let that be it. I think that would be fun. I mean, I doubt that will happen, but I guess it could.
If they had the Edge of Extinction on Australian Survivor, that is definitely something they would do, though.
Yeah, a lot of
Tyson, you go to the Edge for tonight, but tomorrow you're on the other tribe. Okay, all right. So let's Scott, you have what's coming up? Otherwise, here we go. Real quick. Okay, let's talk about Survivor 40 power rankings from Matt Ligori, Victoria, and Gavin. Check out what they have going on for episode number 4 and the Bachelor episode, episode 10 recap. The women told all, Steven. You won't believe what the women had to say.
Mm.
Yep. They had a lot of tea to spill about this Bachelor.
Wow.
Be sure to check out News AF.
Oh my God. It's going to be a sad episode.
If
News
thought Tyson
AF
was funny on the episode. Wait till you hear about, the hot soup taster video that's, gone all over the place on the latest News AF. Of course, Steven, tonight was also Big Brother Canada 8 premiere night.
Wow.
So check that out. We are going to have our first coverage of the Big Brother Canada premiere episode, which aired earlier tonight. That's going to be up tomorrow morning. I believe it's Taryn and Melissa on the coverage of the Big Brother Canada 8 premiere. And then Andy Herron, winner of Big Brother 15, is going to join Taryn on the Taryn's Survivor update tomorrow afternoon. I believe Scott St. Pierre said 6 p.m. Eastern for that, if you want to watch it live. The one last week with Kevin Martin was exceptional. I'm sure Andy will be fired up. Watch that live on our YouTube channel or however you're watching this video right now. And then T-Bird Cooper. We'll be talking to T-Bird, find out what she has to say about so far the winners at war. She's was not happy about what happened to Ethan last week. Well, let's see what she thinks about
who was.
Yeah. What happened to Tyson tonight on a special talking with T-Bird on the recap show. Matt Liguori is going to take a quick break from the power rankings to stop by the B&B. So check that out with Mike and Liana. And then find out why did Tyson lose with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis. They will have the update on the rules. And then J-Sob Lindernenas. Here he is.
Oh, you gave Jason him the Terminal Z, which is, you know, in dispute.
Yes. Jason Linden will be my guest. Get your feedback questions in. RobHasAWebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And then Josh Wigler will be back to talk about everything from this week's episode and get into the week 4 wand off, Stephen. And Shubi on this week in Survivor. He will take me on in the Jordan Kalish quiz. We'll see how he does there as well on this week in Survivor. So it's going to be a jam-packed week. Stephen, before the episode tonight, do you know I do a Survivor pregame show before the know-it-alls, before the episode?
I've heard, yeah.
Yes, okay. It's wild.
What were people predicting?
Lots of predictions. People were worried about Tyson.
Really?
You know, they were worried about Tyson. Tyson and Adam were the two names people were worried about. We're talking to people, getting their predictions before the show. Patron only show, of course. With the Rob is a Podcast patrons, you're never alone watching these shows anymore. Head on over to robisawebsite.com/patron, become a part of our patron Facebook community, get access to our 3 patron podcasts a week, and much more at robisawebsite.com/patron. Now, Stephen, last week or earlier in the show, I told you about how we are going to be live together in North Hollywood. That is going to be for our West Coast Survivor Know-It-Alls. But next week, East Coast time, right after the episode, we have a special fill-in Know-It-Alls with great Shannon Gates and Rick Devins. They will be after the episode. So people on the East Coast don't have to stay up late and be super tired for work. So Shannon and Rick will be live with you right after the episode, East Coast time. We will be on West Coast time with our Survivor show in North Hollywood. Take some pressure off of me in case the live stream doesn't work that night. Then we can get everything. I got to get in there and take a look at the tech stuff. So maybe a live stream, but maybe we'll just record the show and post it after on next Wednesday night. Okay.
Wow.
I listen to the feedback, Stephen. People,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. But we got a really great show coming up next Wednesday night in North Hollywood. Can't wait to see you again, Stephen.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it.
Real quick tonight, Fishy is for who? Yule.
Yule.
Yeah. just for saying, let's vote out Tyson.
No, my God, Yule did everything correctly here. We ran through it, but in brief, Yule established an alliance that people don't seem to know about at all.
But not in this episode.
Four floaters, Yeah, well, but hold on, Rob. Hold on. You know, stop jumping the gun here. That alliance, when one of those their members was threatened, Yule took the information that he was being threatened and led a counterattack to get the person out who was threatening the ally. Mm-hmm. And Yule was the one who, last episode, had seeded the antipathy towards Tyson with Sandra. And today he executed on the plan that he'd been laying for weeks in our time, mm-hmm. you know, days in theirs.
Okay.
And, you know, did a great job when Tyson approached him, lying to his face. And I loved his point at Tribal Council about, you know,
Tony being an a-hole?
No, not that one. about keeping the, you know, the lines open. Okay. So, you know, so I, yeah, great episode for Yule. Another great episode for the Yule Talk.
Okay, Stephen, can't wait to see what happens next week with you live in North Hollywood at the El Portal Theater. Sold out show is going to be another good one. Take care, everybody. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes. Did I forget anything? No?
All no, right. This is great. All this right. is good.
Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.